You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 169 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. Great show for everybody today. Excited to jump into it. We'll start it off by jumping straight into the breakdown. The breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's, and O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. It's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. Starting off by talking about the American Raptors, they released their preseason roster on Monday. It's a good blend of players, a handful of South Americans, there's one Canadian, decent chunk of MLR players, and one core group of crossover athletes that has been here throughout the whole time. And I think they've got enough talent to compete. They're going to be competitive. I think the addition of the South Americans is a big plus because they have experience in the league and they know what it's going to take, and they can kind of teach the Raptors players, the crossover guys and the MLR guys, the guys that haven't played in the competition, what it's going to be like in training and that good stuff. So I'm excited for this to get going. I'm ready to see it in action. I know I can say that roster is not final. It's a preseason roster. There's going to be some cuts and some additions as well. Some of those additions come on the back of the Raptors announcing today that they have a partnership with Colombia. They'll see four Colombians join the squad as soon as the visas get cleared. If you listen to the show a couple of weeks ago, you know that's what I asked Mark Bullock, and he said it basically boils down to visa issues and there's nothing anybody can really do about it, right? But that's kind of the case with that. And other than that, week two's gone smoothly from what I can gather. Preparation continues for Seattle, which is in less than a month now, so things are coming quickly. But it's been cool to see them back at work. I'm impressed by the roster. We'll talk a little bit more about the pieces and stuff when we get closer to the season and we get a little bit better of an understanding of who's going to be on the team. So we'll kind of go through all that stuff. But if you're interested in checking it out, it's on the Raptors social media, so go and look at that. You want to see who's on the team. I think that about does it for the Raptors part of the breakdown. Obviously have a lot more to cover with Samu Smith coming up here in the interview portion of the show. Moving into the MLR piece of the breakdown, the only thing I have to add is that MLR teams reported for the season earlier this week, so they're rolling. It's going to be exciting spring of rugby for sure. Let's go ahead and move into all the rugby you can watch this weekend. All the rugby you can watch this weekend is brought to you by Wintergreen. Wintergreen loves rugby and wants to support USA Rugby's mission of uniting an inclusive, passionate rugby community to grow the sport of rugby in America. Wintergreen gels, creams, sprays, and soaks are made with wintergreen oils and other therapeutic natural oils that help to soothe and support sore muscles and joints to keep you at your best. Visit wintergreensport.com to purchase the products you need to help you prepare to win. So, round three of the Challenge Cup's going on this weekend. You can catch that on Flow Rugby. Round three of the Champions Cup's also happening this weekend, and you can also catch that on Flow Rugby. We got round seven of the Allianz Premier 15s. You can watch a couple of those matches on premier15s.com. And then we have a handful of NCR Collegiate All-Star matches this weekend, and you can catch that on NCR's YouTube page. So that's going to be fun. A lot of rugby to watch, mix in with your NFL playoffs that get rolling this weekend too. So you have plenty to watch this weekend. That's what I'm looking to do, is just watch some sports. Let's go ahead and move into the interview portion of the show. This interview with American Raptors utility back Samu Smith is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. I really enjoyed this chat with Samu Smith, a really intelligent guy that has a unique view of the world, I think, and I think you get a little peek into the way he thinks about things with some of the answers that he gives me in this interview. Really did enjoy talking to him, though. I'm surprised I haven't had him on yet, because he has been a part of this Raptors core for the last couple of years now. And it's cool because he was one of the guys that came to the Raptors with rugby experience. It was the XOs at that time, but he had some rugby experience. But he is like the model for this program. He played college football for a year before he started to take rugby really seriously, and fell in love with it. And he's become, you know, one of the best players on this team, definitely. And one of the guys that helped steady the ship, helped the new guys kind of come along, and has been able to provide that guidance from the time he's been here and just help people understand the game a lot better. So really enjoyed this chat with Samu Smith. I hope you do as well. Let's go ahead and kick it to my conversation with American Raptors utility back Samu Smith. All right, please welcome onto the show American Raptors utility back Samu Smith. Samu, how's it going, man?
It's going well. It's going really well. Just got back from recovery, so thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining me, man. I always enjoy talking to you guys, and I appreciate you taking some time on your off day to come chat with me for a little bit. So, Samu, the first question I ask everybody that comes on the show, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Well, my name is Samu Smith. I was born in West Africa, Liberia. My mom's from Guinea, Conakry. I immigrated to the United States in 2000. I immigrated to the state of New Hampshire, and Concord, New Hampshire is where I grew up. Went to college in Connecticut. So I'd say the Northeast, honestly. I've been in New York. I've been all over the Eastern Coast, but I guess New Hampshire is home.
Yeah, and just kind of from reading up on you, and obviously you've played for the Raptors / XOs a little bit now, so got to know you a little bit, and you have an interesting background, it kind of sounds like, so I'm looking forward to getting into that. And we'll just, I guess, kind of just start in high school. I know you played football, basketball, and ran some track, so just tell me about, you know, playing sports in high school a little bit.
Yeah, so I never really concentrated on one sport. I was a jack of all trades. I played football, basketball, baseball, track and field. I was in the band. I was a saxophone player.
I was going to ask. That was my next question.
Yeah, and I was an Eagle Scout as well. So, I mean, I had my hand in a bunch of things, which was great. And it was fun. It was awesome. It made living in New Hampshire a lot more bearable. I don't know if you guys ever been to New Hampshire or know about it, but there's not too much to do. It's not that diverse either, but, you know, it was a great experience growing up out there, just because of the fact that I was involved in so many different activities.
Very nice. And you went to college to play football, is that right? You played at, where was this, Southern Connecticut State? What position did you play?
I was a wide receiver.
Were you?
I was a weak side wide receiver. Always thought I should have been open side, but I was an X. So I was always on the quarterback's back shoulder for those one-on-ones.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you only played for 1 year, right? Why? What kind of, like, when your decision to stop playing, and when did you kind of get into rugby?
Well, you know, I'm sure a lot of football players know this story. You go to a school with high expectations. They tell you they're going to give you things if you perform, and I performed, and I took the job pretty serious, as I always have, and I didn't get the promises that were given to me, or they didn't keep their promises. So my sophomore year, I realized quickly that I was wasting my time, because college football is another job, and I was doing the whole school thing on the side. I mean, I was there primarily for school, but, you know, just having football there, it was messing with my mental. So I told myself that I was going to quit, even though I had high hopes of, like, possibly playing in the NFL. I always thought that I was a good football player, and I just came from the wrong state for it. So I quit early and just focused on my degree. And, yeah.
Very nice. When did you start playing rugby then?
So, yeah, the spring of my sophomore year, I quit after that fall season. Or, no, I quit before the fall season. And I went to a house party, and it was a rugby party. And the guys were just wondering why I was there. It was a Friday night. They're like, isn't there a football game tomorrow? And aren't you, like, the starting wide receiver? And I told them what had happened and that I was no longer on the football team. And they asked me the question, like, do you know anything about rugby? And I told them straight up, Not no, because growing up in New Hampshire, one of my buddies, Jonah Mosier, he grew up near Amaskeg, New Hampshire, or the Amaskeg area, which is like Manchester, New Hampshire, and they had a history of rugby teams, like his uncle played. So I think the summer before I went to college, I went to like my first touch game with some locals, and you know, I was a wide receiver, so I already knew how to cut, and the stepping aspect of rugby was already like embedded in me. So when that when the time came to play college rugby, I said, yeah, I knew a little bit, but not too much. And they told me to come to practice the next day on Saturday morning, and yeah, the rest was history.
And practice after the big party.
Yeah,
people moving a little bit slow, I'm sure. So you're playing in college.
For sure.
How did you kind of wind up, I guess, with Rugby United New York? That seems kind of like the next big jump, right? Like, how did that opportunity present itself, and what was that experience like?
So after playing with Southern for a season, I just became a rugby, excuse my language, whore. Like, I was playing anywhere I could. I played with Greenwich Men's Club, New Haven Men's Club, Hartford Men's Club, even back home in the summertime with Amaskeg Rugby Club. And I was just trying to get as much experience as possible. I also like joined the sevens circuit and was playing with Bulldog Rugby. And I think it was my junior year of college, I was playing with New Haven Men's Club in the summertime. We had a really good team, and we played against our rivals, Fairfield Men's Club. And I guess they had a couple forwards that Mike Tolkien, the former head coach of Rugby United New York in their inaugural season back in like 2018, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. He was looking at a couple forwards, and I was there, and I was just doing my thing, using my footwork, being athletic. And I guess I showed promise, and he invited me to his preseason camp. And I went out there preseason, had the most tries out of everybody in the preseason. I think we played like three games. We played against the Free Jacks before they became the Free Jacks. Mm-hmm. They had a solid team. We played against a DC select side. And yeah, I showed promise, and Mike gave me a part-time contract. And so that senior year of college, I was going back and forth from New York New Haven, Connecticut. It wasn't ideal for a college kid. Because the taxes or the tolls to get into New York every time was $15, you know? That was heavy. I was driving there. I had a girlfriend at the time, and she was just, it was messy. But, you know, you got to do things to reach your goals. And I always wanted to be a professional athlete, and I wanted to see that through. So when the opportunity came out, you know, I took it.
What's like the time of the commute from New Haven to New York?
I'd say two hours, 15 minutes. Wow.
That's not that bad if you're doing it every so often, but I'm sure as you're having to do it, that adds up, and that's a lot of time.
For sure.
Moving back and forth, and like you said, a lot of money.
Yeah.
I was wondering like how people, and this is just because I've never lived in a place with tolls, but like every time I've been to the Bay Area, like I went to New York for the first time last year. Like, what if you just don't have like money on you? Do you just get like charged to your car and you get like a bill later? Like, how does that work? How it works.
You called it right there. Yeah. They'll scan your license plate and they'll find out your address and they'll send you a bill for it. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people have Easy Pass. You know, you can just like put $50 on your Easy Pass at the beginning of the month and not have to worry about it.
Interesting. When did you, this is like a question I like to ask guys like you, Sam, who have played rugby for a little bit, and then even now, like some of the guys that are crossing over right now, when did you like realize that rugby was fun? Like, do you remember like the specific moment? Was it your first training? Was it the first time you scored a try? Like, when did it kind of click for you that this was something that you really liked doing?
I think I take it all the way back to that touch game in Manchester, New Hampshire. The second I stepped somebody, I was like, oh, wow, this could be fun, because it was effortless for me. Like, for some reason, I didn't think twice. Someone was coming to tackle me or to touch me. And I just saw the space and naturally moved into it. And I was like, wait. And the reaction that I got out of it, and the fact that I saw that not too many people could do it and not too many people like utilize that footwork and that skill. I guess I was like, all right, this is something I could take very far and could make the base or the foundation of my rugby career if I ever went that way.
Yeah.
Because my buddy, he was like really encouraging me to adopt rugby, and I already told him that I was going to Southern for football, but it was always in the back of my mind. So I guess it's like the second you find something within rugby that you can like embrace as your own and like know that that's what you bring to the table. You know, some people it's tackling, aggressiveness, leadership. For me, it's just footwork, you know, just being very active in space. I think I'm one of the best at that in the States, honestly, but that's just me.
I would agree. I feel like I've seen you play enough now and I've watched enough rugby that you do have a different step, definitely. So I wanted to kind of get back into the timeline of things and then we'll talk more about, you know, the Raptors and stuff. So in between joining, I mean, when you leave Rooney and you come to the Exos, like you join the military?
Is that right? Yeah.
What kind of went into that decision?
So during my time at Rooney, me and my girlfriend like get to some arguments, and just because I had an apartment in New York, just so I didn't have to commute so much. At this point, I'm now a part-time student. I'm really invested in this like rugby career, and I'm just taking like four credits or four classes. Like two classes. At college. And my girlfriend is still living in Connecticut, so I would commute to go see her, stay there a couple times. It just wasn't working long story short. And it got to the point where I was now in New York by myself, living in Bed-Stuy, and doing the whole Rooney thing, and I just felt alone. I didn't feel like I was mature enough to really be a professional. I was still a child at heart, like still going out, even though like I had these aspirations to be great. So I decided that I was going to just drop it all. I got injured my first season with Rooney. I had an ankle injury, and I quickly learned, you know, the business, you know, and how, like, at the end of the day, it is a business, and they're going to forget about you when you're a part-time guy and they haven't invested so much in you. You know, I knew I had a lot of promise, a lot to offer, but Rooney basically put me to the backseat, and it kind of hurt my mental, hurt my heart a little bit, and I needed to find myself. And I thought, like, joining the military, because nobody in my family had ever joined the military or was, you know, in the Army or anything like that. So I wanted to be the first, because my dad was the first to graduate from college in the States, from Franklin Pierce University. I was the second to graduate from college, but I was the first to join the military and serve. So, and I had a fear of heights, and I knew about the 82nd Airborne, and now some military men have the opportunity to be paratroopers and jump out of planes. So I really wanted to chase that. So when I went to my recruiter, I was like, hey, I want to jump out of planes. I want to conquer my fear of heights. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We have just the thing for you. Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Here I come.
Yeah.
So, it was just the fact that I was in a bad place, and I was scared of what would come out of it. And I really needed some direction. And I don't know, I woke up one day and just thought, like, hey, if ever a better time to join the military, it's now. I should have joined out of high school, honestly.
Yeah.
Had I done it, like, had I gone back and done it the right way, but, you know. Yeah.
So that was a 2-year commitment, or how long were you in?
Yeah, so I was supposed to be there for 3 years. I was there for two, and then I started to think, like, I don't know, the Army, like, it did what it needed, or it did what I needed it to do for me. I went to basic training, no phones for, I think it was like two months, and this was like kind of in the middle of COVID.
Okay.
So it was even rougher, or it was a lot more tough. And it put me in a whole different mind state. Like, I got out of basic training and I went to my first duty station, and I was like, not a robot, but like, I was a commando for sure. Like, taking orders, just very professional. And after 2 years, like, it started getting a little toxic. I started to see, like, some of the toxic parts of the Army. The fact that, like, we work so hard Monday through Friday, but then binge drink on weekends like crazy, right? The fact that, like, some of the people that are telling you what to do can't do the things that they're telling you what to do, you know? Just, like, some things that, like, start to itch at your head, like, I could do this better than somebody else. But obviously, you got to put that in the back, and you have to respect your ranks. But once I got the... not the call, but I saw the American Raptors, or the Exos. I saw the development of this program. And I don't know, it just touched deep within me just because I was a football player and I made the transition a lot earlier than most of these guys. I thought that this could be a place that I could, you know, come help and come begin my second chapter of my professional career as an athlete.
Yeah, that's super interesting because, and that's a perfect segue, is I'm interested in how the kind of the opportunity came about, like to come join the XOs, because you, like you said, you were one of the guys that came with some rugby experience, and especially early on, there wasn't that many. It was like you and Max is who I can think of, honestly, and a couple guys that had some, you know, like Line and Dayton that played a little bit of rugby before.
Right.
And you are a crossover athlete. You just did it, like you said, a little bit earlier. So how did that opportunity come about, and kind of, I guess kind of like what piqued your interest about it? I know you touched on a little bit right there, but.
No, it was just the fact that I could – I always knew in the back of my head playing rugby all those years, even with Rooney, I was like, dude, I've been playing with athletes that are so much better than this. Like, yeah, the skills is there, but, like, I know guys that are so much tougher than this. Like, imagine if we really, like, did something with the football crowd in America. Like, that was a thought that I was having back in, like, college, mm-hmm. back when I was playing with Rooney. But as I learned the business, I was like, nah, because, like, this was around the time MLR is bringing in all these foreigners. Mm-hmm. I'm watching a ton of rugby at this time, and I'm understanding that, like, you know, in order to develop a league like the MLR, you do need some outside contributions.
Definitely.
You know, contributors. So I wasn't sure that the MLR was really ready for that next step, because if they really were for, you know, the development of American rugby, I saw that eventually – we would have to tap into all these other crazy athletes in this country. Mm-hmm. But I was in the military. I saw how the development of the XOs was happening. I saw the videos, the tryouts, and I just picked up my phone one day, and I think I emailed Mark Bullock, the rugby director, and I told him about how, like, I used to play with Rugby United New York, how I'm transitioning out of the military, mm-hmm. And that, like, I needed a new home, but, like, I wanted to continue my rugby career, whether that was in the MLR or with them. But I told him my backstory and the fact that I was a crossover athlete. And what really sealed the deal was, you know, one thing that I really fell in love with rugby, which was the connection, you know, how it's almost like a fraternity. 'Cause I knew Mike, and he's the one that adopted me into his rugby program. And because of that relationship, Mark trusted Mike with you know, the
I know what you're trying to say. Yeah, yeah. He trusted, like, his judgment, to bring you in. Like, he wouldn't have brought you in if, you know, you weren't, like, a good dude and you weren't going to contribute to the program, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I think Mike's words were he'd be perfect for your program. And Mark heard that, and the rest was history. Like, literally, I packed all my stuff from Fort Bragg, and I drove 24 hours straight to Denver, Colorado. It was the craziest trip I've ever taken. I mean, I ever took. But, like I couldn't sleep. I was so excited to get here and get to working. I had so much to offer, and it was an amazing ride, and it just added to the saga that is, like, my rugby career, you know. Yeah.
And that'd be what, like, February 21?
Yeah.
Because you came a little bit after, I remember, kind of like everybody else.
It's the winter.
Got started, yeah.
Yeah.
But you were still there, like, early on enough. So now you've been here for almost 2 years. What do you kind of think about, like, how the club has evolved? Because there has been, you know, man, I don't even know, 100, 150, like, guys come through here.
Yeah, man, it's like Game of Thrones out here, bro.
A lot of people coming through.
Yeah.
You know, people have gotten MLR opportunities. Like, right. this thing has worked, and now with, you know, entering Super Rugby Americas, it's changing a little bit. But, like, what kind of view – you've had a unique view of the evolution of the club. So, like, what do you think about how things have changed since you've been here? Like, are you impressed by, like, how much the success of it, or just anything like that?
I'm definitely impressed with how much the players have developed, you know, mm-hmm. in the past 2 years I've been here. The mentality has been at a standstill, I believe, within the ranks of the players. What I mean by that is just like, I feel like the SLAR is going to kickstart that mentality. We're going to get there. And whether we go in and we start winning a lot of games or we go in and we start getting our butts kicked, I think it's going to kickstart our mentality and really awaken us to that professional what's the word for it? Like, just not environment, because we do have a great professional environment here, but just it's that like professional mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The fact that, the stakes are higher and the bar is raised, and you know? Now you're playing for something, right? Like, right. I know in the past, and that's what's been kind of weird, is you have played, you know, high level matches, right? You've played good competition, but
never in the league.
Exactly. It's always one off stuff. And so you're always playing to get better, and now it's like we actually have
a playoff, you know,
something to work for, yeah. Like a trophy to win at the end, which does change things, as weird as that is.
It really does. It's like, obviously, this isn't the NFL, right? This isn't the NBA, but, like, this is our NFL.
Yeah.
You know, that's how serious I take it, right? That's how serious a lot of the boys on the team take it. And I think, moving forward, I think everybody's going to adopt that and understand that. Like, all right, like, you didn't make it to the NFL, you didn't make it to the NBA, whatever sport you come from, but, like, now this is your second chance, this is your second coming, so take it as serious as you would have taken it if you were on the Patriots, if you were on the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really good for this program, for the staff and for the players. It's a learning experience for everybody, you know, but we have to take it as if it's a storybook and play those characters, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. The past 2 years, I've seen the guys, you know, get more and more serious. The core guys, for sure, because they've been here since the get-go. And as guys come in, hopefully they can keep, you know, the standards high and keep preaching that this is a very professional environment. If you're not going to take it as if you're in the NFL and take it as if you're in the upper echelon of our sport, then you're not going to be able to thrive here, you know. Mm-hmm.
Because there's somebody that wants to do that, right? Like, there's always somebody else.
Yes.
And you've had the opportunity. I know we talked about it a little bit just before this, but you've had the opportunity to play some of the South American competition and get some runs against, you know, some MLR Academy teams. And we have, you know, a couple matches against some MLR teams coming up here in a couple of weeks. Like, what have those matches taught you about, you know, this team and like, what it's going to take to compete in this league?
It's taught me that our team physically and athletically can probably beat any rugby team in the States physically and athletically. And then what it's taught me other than that is that the importance of skills, right? The importance of communicating what you see out there in the field. I know in football, not everyone talks, you know. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest things that biggest work-ons. For someone that comes from football to rugby, is the fact that, like, you don't have a helmet. You're required to talk and give feedback, live feedback as to what's happening on the field, so that everyone, the person to your left and the person to your right of you, you know, understands what's going on. It's almost like war, you know, like back in the day when we're talking like eighth century, you know, back in the day, like Vikings, mm-hmm. like you'd have to trust the person to your left and right. And get feedback from them on, like, what's going on in the battlefield as you're suffering yourself and going through the hell that is, you know, fitness or conditioning, the hell that is, you know, getting up and getting back online as quickly as possible, and you're breathing hard, but the person to the left and the right is also breathing hard, and they require you to give them feedback so they can feel comfortable. So I guess that's, like, one of the biggest work-ons we've been going through, but... Other than that, I just feel like this whole experience is going to really awaken American rugby, American rugby players, mm-hmm. to the potential that SLAR and just playing north and south of us can give us. And, yeah.
Cool. And then I was going to ask, you kind of answered it there, but, like, what excites you most about joining this competition?
Oh, yes. What excites me most is seeing my limits, you know? Like, I want to get stepped. I want to get crushed. I want to get exposed. Obviously, I'm going to do everything in my power to prevent that from happening, which is why Infinity Park and the American Raptors is one of the best professional programs I've been a part of, because they have all the tools and the facilities to get you ready for war and get you ready for that high level of competition. But for me, it's just I want to be put in very uncomfortable situations so that I can see exactly where I'm at. You know, the past 2 years, I've been at a point where, you know, I feel like I'm a really good rugby player, but it's almost like I need to go back to basic training and I need to get whipped again so that I can be like, all right, like, you know, obviously I watch a lot of rugby and like watching is one thing. You can see somebody, like I'm a very visual learner, so like I can see someone do something on YouTube at like a high level, like a pro 14 level, and I can be very confident that I can do it. But being there is completely different. So now that we're going to be playing against guys that have contracts with their home countries and are playing at like very high international levels and potentially going to be playing in top 14 and getting traded to like, you know, Super Cup over in like Israel and Georgia and like all these other different leagues, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's like there's no excuse. Like the film that I'm going to get from this league and the film that we're going to get is going to be very crucial for our development as professional athletes and, I mean, as professional rugby players, because now it's like when we do well, like there's no critics. You can't say like, oh, like they were playing academy side. Oh, they're playing these no names. Nah, like we're playing some of the best rugby players in South America.
Yeah.
So that's probably what really excites me about this next venture.
That's awesome. And you have an interesting perspective on things. And I wanted to kind of I'm trying to like phrase how I want to ask this because I don't really know yet. But for somebody that I've heard, you know, recently, like the more you make yourself suffer, like the better and like easier life gets, right? So that goes for, you know, getting in like a cold tub every day or like working really hard. And you kind of sound like you have that mindset, right? Like you want to go to the army to see how hard it was. And you're saying like, I want to get stepped. I want to, you know, miss tackles because that kind of shows you where you are.
All right.
So you're going back to last summer in the SLAR exhibition and you wind up on the wrong end of the Jaguares match. Like, what does that, like, what do you take away from that? Because I can imagine it's, you have an interesting mindset, like I just said. So I can imagine you probably look at it different than, like, I would, right? I'm not you. I didn't join the military to see how hard it was. Because to me, like, if I'm just going back to when I'm playing football and I'm playing rugby, if I wind up on the wrong end of a scoreline like that, like, I'm really, like, down on myself and I'm in my own head and it kind of, like, makes me, like, apprehensive,
question, right?
To, yeah, like what am I doing, like why I can't like touch these guys, but like I can imagine you probably aren't thinking that, right? So like, what do you take out of, you know, specifically that match against Jaguares last year?
Yeah, we got our butts kicked pretty bad against Jaguares, but you know, I went into the game with the mentality that like win or lose, you know, no matter what the scoreboard is, it's all about the fight. Like we knew they had dogs on their team. They had several, you know, Puma 7s players, a couple Puma 15s players, guys that, like, are going to be moving up to play for the Argentinian national team. So, personally, I was like, all right, let's do it. Like, let's see how good these guys really are, you know? I told my guys before, it's like, this is a team battle, but this is also an individual battle going into this game. Like, you're going to see the guy across from you, and He may be better than you, but understand that, like, you need to get everything you can out of him so that you can leave this match learning as much about yourself and as much about this game as you can, you know what I mean? Like, put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Like get up as fast as you can. Even if you're dying and you can't move, like, just do it because you're playing against like some of the best players you've ever played against. And I remember in that match, I think it was for like 15 minutes. Like we were down a player, or down, I think one or two players, and we held them for like 15 or 17 minutes where it was like we were two tries down. And then obviously the fitness kicked in and we started dying and started feeling bad for ourselves. But I looked at that game and I took it personal. Yes, I was thinking about the team, and I was trying to make sure that I did like what was needed for the team to succeed. But also at a personal level, I was seeing how good I could be against some of these wingers, against some of these backs. Like, I really wanted to play 13 and see how it felt to play against a guy that played rugby all his life, or tackle a guy who's played rugby all his life off a scrum, mm-hmm. off a lineout. Like, am I going to, like, sit back and allow this guy to run me over, or am I going to step to the challenge and run through him, right? Yeah. So just, like, all these different scenarios. I really wish we got the ball more on offense. A lot of our scrums were lost, and a lot of our lineouts were lost, because I really think, like, athletically and physically, we would have gave them a run for their money out wide. Like, mm-hmm. I remember having conversations with our wingers and our 13s, or our centers and our wingers, like Daytwan, and literally saying, hey, like, bro, like, these guys aren't, like, that much special. Yeah. Like the stuff they're doing out there, it's not because we're not as good as them. It's just because they have more experience than us, right?
Yeah.
They just have more reps, so it's just second nature for them to get back up and get back into it. They don't have to think twice. So after that game, I got to a point where I understood that I needed to work so hard that I couldn't get it wrong. It wasn't about getting it right anymore.
Yeah.
It's doing it so much that you couldn't get it wrong. So.
And the reason I ask that is, like, to not throw shade or anything, but it's because there's more people that are like me than like you, right? There's more people that can look at that score line and be like,
oh, yeah,
what? These guys are wasting their time. Like, you've been working on this for 2 years and, like, this is what you put forth. But, like, that's easy for people to say because they're not doing it. They're not, like, putting in the work, and they're not stepping on the field to play Jaguares, you know? So, like,
facts.
That's why, like, I'm trying to get into your head, like, to see, you know, how you look at it, because it is going to be different. And that's ultimately right. Like, I get that. And, you know, as the older I get, and especially in this last year, it's like you want to make people, like, acknowledge your presence, right? Like, you might lose, but, like, you want to give people all they can handle in anything, right? Yes. Like, you can take that in any, you know, if you're interviewing for a job, like, and it's a job you're pretty sure you're not going to get, like, make it hard on them, right? Like, go in there with the mentality, like, I'm going to give the best interview I can. I'm going to present myself the best I can. So that does make the decision a little bit tougher.
100%.
That's a good way to live life, I think. So that's why I asked that question, because I
appreciate
been,
that.
And I'm glad that you kind of got what I was getting, because I know I was having a hard time landing the plane there.
Yeah, some people think it's odd, like, the way I kind of live my life. I don't know, like, I'm not robotic, but I'm a pretty stern, serious individual, especially when it comes to, like, my craft. And that kind of leaks into the rest of my life, but I love it. I enjoy acting that way and in such ways. Like, some people, you know, they can feel the tension, like, they can feel that energy coming off of me, because, like, I'm so passionate about, you know, this rugby thing and this athletic thing, because I always knew this, but it really hit hard, like, how little time we have left with, like, these able bodies, and how little time we have left to do what we love. You know, someone very close to me, you know, it was basically taken from him, right? So, and after that experience with him, and just sitting down and just thinking about how he's not able to do what he wants, but I am, it's almost like I'm dedicating this next chapter of my athletic career to him. And I've always thought like that, but this really touched heart and almost, like, you know, flipped a switch in my head and my heart. So I'm trying to get everything I can out of this experience, everything I can out of this SLAR competition that I can. And I'm sure to give them hell, and I'm sure my teammates will as well.
And that's the difference, because, like I said, there's people out there that are like, oh, this is a waste of time. Why are you doing this? But, like, those people would like to be doing what you're doing. They would love to line up and play against Jaguars, but they won't, and they never will, because they're not like you, right? They don't attack things the same way as you do, and they're not as focused on getting better as you do. So that's the reason I asked that question. That's a great answer. That is, you know, it's good to be aware of that stuff for sure. Samuel, I got one more, and then I'll let you go. I really do appreciate your time. This has been really good. So you've obviously been around for 2 years now. You spent the last 2 years around Sarah Chabot, and now you're embarking on this new journey with Sarah Chabot, kind of steering the ship.
Yes.
What is she like as a head coach? What's she like to play for, and why do you think that she got this job?
Well, I've been with a lot of coaches throughout my athletic career, and the best coaches and the ones that I've always loved are the ones that you play for. And the ones that you're almost scared to fail because you know you don't want to let them down. Like in high school, my senior year of football, we went undefeated, won a state championship. My coach, Colin Brown, he was great because of the fact that he was almost like a father figure. And that's almost what I see in Bot. We've adopted her as like basically our mother, you know, and it's really good because of the sport that we play, this rough sport where you're being tested at so many levels. Having someone that is a figure of the team, right, but also knows exactly what she's talking about, also has been there, has done a lot of the stuff that we have, that we've done, and has done some of the things that we want to do, you know, like she's a decorated international women's rugby player, right, and she's played in different countries, and she's had a lot of these injuries, right, and the fact that she's a forward even helps us because we all know that the forwards are the ones that really like win the games for us. All these aspects have helped with not conforming, but just like bringing in all these like football players and getting them to adopt the rugby mentality and adopt the rugby culture. I think a lot of it has to do with just Coach Bot is always going to be the same way. She's never going to switch up on you. You know, a lot of people will act one way on Monday and then act another way on Thursday. With Bot, you're going to get the same person every time. And it's going to be a caring, loving individual, but at the same time, someone that's going to demand respect from you. And she's done that since day one. And I'm so happy for her and so glad that she got the head coaching job because the whole time I've been here, it's been – I think in the back of my head, and I know some of my teammates had that, like, she's the perfect person for the job. I remember when we went to Uruguay the first time, she stepped up and became the head coach for
the first week. Time I was there, yeah.
Yeah, and we did well. We excelled. Our practices were sharp and efficient, and I think that was, like, the first, you know, drop of blood, and that's what really led to this turning point in our program where now she's the head coach and she's calling the shots. And I want to be just like Bot. She's someone that like you inspire to be, and I think that's a huge part of it as well.
That's awesome. That's a good answer, and I agree. Samu, thank you so much for your time, man. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for having me. It's my second podcast ever. You know, I was a bit nervous, but
You crushed it. You couldn't tell. Helped me out. So looking forward to watching you play and looking forward to you guys taking Super Rugby Americas by storm.
Thank you so much, Colin.
All right. Hope everyone enjoyed that conversation with American Raptors utility back Samu Smith. Appreciate Samu taking the time on his day off to come chat with me. I always appreciate that. And I really enjoyed it. I thought he gave some great answers. And it was good to get to know him a little bit better. So let's go ahead and jump in the required reading portion of the show now. Required reading is brought to you by Gilbert Rugby. Gilbert is the official rugby equipment supplier of the American Raptors. Visit worldrugbyshop.com to grab all of your Gilbert Rugby gear. This piece is titled Raptors Prepare for Super Rugby America's Challenge. It's published in ESPN Scrum. It's in Spanish, so you have to translate it on your computer, but my Chrome does a good job of that, so it should give you a little drop-down box that says always translate Spanish to English. I just checked that, and I'm good to go. It's just a good profile on American Raptors head coach Sarah Chabot as the Raptors prepare for their inaugural season of Super Rugby Americas. Just a good way to get to know Chabot a little bit and just kind of the feeling and the expectations of this program heading into this first season, because it's kind of weird. Like, this is how I felt when this crossover program started, and they went down to New Orleans to play that first match, and I got to travel down there with them. And it just was such a weird feeling because it's like literally anything could happen. They could go out and lose by triple digits. They could go out and win. They could, you know, you just didn't know it was going to happen. It could be they could just be naturals at it. And they ended up going and winning by a couple of scores, and it never really was super close. They kind of jumped on them early, and that's how I feel about this competition. It's obviously a little bit different. It's not all crossover athletes anymore. We talked about the top of the show. There are some South Americans that have played in SLAR before, and they have some experienced MLR players that are going to be good for this club as well. But if it feels the same way. They could go down and be competitive and win matches and make a run at the title here in this first year. They could go down and wind up on the wrong side of some big score lines. It's just hard to tell. I don't know what's going to happen. That's why I'm super excited for these preseason matches, one against Seattle, of course, and a couple other MLR teams that have yet to be announced. But I just am excited to see what it looks like because the sky's the limits and the possibilities are endless, and it's going to be exciting. So it's just kind of a good look at the mindset and the vibe going into the season from the mind of Sarah Chabot, head coach. So I recommend checking that out. It's a good read, and I'll link it in the article that houses this podcast as well as the description of the podcast if you're interested in checking it out. We'll jump into Stat of the Week here. The Stat of the Week is presented by Catapult. Catapult is committed to making performance technology available to athletes at all levels, whether it's the biggest teams and organizations in world sport or amateur rugby players. Catapult helps monitor performance like the pros. For more information, visit catapultsports.com. I don't have any stats again. Again, I'm waiting on some matches and stuff to be played, and then we'll get back into the stats. I'll try to conjure some up next week for sure. So sorry about that. No Stat of the Week. But that's where we would talk about it. So let's go ahead and close the show with the Loop. Loop is presented by First Bank. First Bank is the official banking partner of Infinity Park. They believe in banking for good, doing their best to do right by their customers, communities, and employees. Banking for good, member FDIC. Just follow along with everything we've got going on at DNVR_rugby. I'm going to be making some fun content here in a couple of weeks. Got some good podcasts coming out. And the best place to stay on top of all that is on Twitter at DNVR_rugby, at Colton Strickler. And that's it. That's the show. So thanks to Samu for joining me. Hopefully everyone enjoyed that conversation. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hope you had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy all the rugby this weekend. Catch you all back here next Friday.